This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Which UVA sports season came to a more disappointing ending? That's the topic of our Street Knowledge. I am Chris Graham, and with baseball having come to an end this week on Monday with the Cavs 11-8 loss to Dallas Baptist in the Fort Worth Regional, it's the end of the UVA sports season. You know, college sports is on a different year than every other year that you live on, and we won't have any more UVA sports to root for or worry about or obsess over, any of the above, all of the above, until football starts back up in early September. So we can look back at the calendar year and say, all right, good, bad, indifferent, and yes, okay, another national championship in men's tennis and an individual team championship and individual championship in men's tennis. Let's just, we'll throw that out there because I know that if I don't mention that and I, you know, talk about the overall thrust of this sports season being disappointing, then somebody's going to say, but you didn't talk about men's tennis. All right, there I did. And now admit it, unless you're the hardest of hardcore tennis fans, you didn't care about that. Yeah, you'll tell your tech friends about, oh yeah, another national championship. You guys haven't won any in any sport. But really, honestly, you only care about it because Virginia won. You didn't watch it. You barely know that they play tennis. And we'll throw that out there. Okay, so what you care about is you care about football, you care about basketball, men's basketball particularly, and baseball. You know, baseball's come into its own in the last few years, not just UVA baseball. College baseball in general has gotten a lot more competitive. There's a lot more teams out there, a lot more TV coverage of it. I am part of that. I get to cover call games for ESPN3. I'm your Southern Conference baseball expert now, working my way up maybe, who knows, in that realm. So, okay, so UVA sports season, which was the most disappointing end? Because they all ended with disappointment. Most disappointing. You know, it's probably neck and neck, to be honest. Football didn't come in with a lot of expectations, though Bronco Mendenhall, the now second-year coach, when he came in, got hired, I guess we're going back a little ways now, because this time last year, he was a few months in, he had spring practice. I guess he was hired back in December of 2015 after Mike London was let go. And it was, you know, all the ballyhoo of, wow, Virginia lured BYU's coach to Charlottesville. A program that had obviously struggled. You get a coach fired, Mike London fired after six seasons. There's a reason he got fired. But his last couple of teams were competitive. The recruiting hadn't been terrible. You know, it hadn't been great. It wasn't Alabama level or Clemson level or even Miami or Louisville level, but it was mid-40s in the rivals rankings. And the losses on the field the last couple of years weren't necessarily, hey, we don't have talent. It was, we have talent, we're just not using it right. We don't know when to call timeouts. We don't know, how to play defense in the last 3 minutes of a game, et cetera, et cetera. So the thought was, you got a coach in Bronco Mendenhall who won 99 games in 11 seasons at BYU. He averaged 9 wins a year. This guy knows how to coach. You put our coach, a coach like him, with a program that is decent, not terrible, but not great, they'll win a couple more games. He was even talking about, hey, we'll compete for a bowl this year. You know, and that, the standard for competing in a bowl now isn't what it was 30 years ago. Virginia, there was a time back in the, I want to say the early mid-90s, that Virginia won 8 games 1 year and didn't get a bowl. They were 8-3 and didn't get a bowl. So, you know, now you're 6-6, you can be 5-7 and get a bowl if not enough teams qualify. So, not high standards, but still 6 would be, you know, be a lot. Virginia hasn't played in a bowl in a long time, 2011. And so, you know, so that was what we had sold to us. This program will be more hard-nosed. They'll be in better shape. Got a coach and a staff that knows how to win games. This will be a better team. And then you go out first week. Richmond leads 30-7 in the third quarter of that game. Richmond. No offense to Richmond. Richmond goes in the FCS playoffs and does well, but that's just not what you expect, to say the least. A a modest two-game winning streak after the 0-3 start. You know, the UConn loss, you couldn't get the field goal unit on the field in time. You don't have a field goal kicker in place in general. You know, you beat Central Michigan and Duke back-to-back weeks. You know, there's Central Michigan had just beaten Oklahoma State. Duke wasn't Duke this year. I mean, the last few years, Duke has actually been really competitive. This was a step back year for Duke, but at that time we didn't know that necessarily. We thought that beating Duke, obviously us beating anybody in the ACC, was good news. So, and then you lose seven straight to end the season. There was the game against Louisville, which completely an anomaly. You're in the midst of this losing streak, and Louisville at that time was still competing outside looking in for a playoff bid. Lamar Jackson ends up winning the Heisman Trophy. And Virginia has that game in hand in the fourth quarter, still has a lead with 2 minutes to go. And I want to say I wasn't at this game because I was calling a VMI game, but I want to say it was a third or fourth down play when Louisville threw the 30-yard touchdown pass to win the game. I mean, that game is right there for the taking, reminiscent of the Notre Dame loss the year before, Mike London's last season, where last second touchdown pass, I think it was 12 seconds to go in that game, where Notre Dame, a top 10 team, had to rally to beat a Virginia team. You know, so you know, there's all that, and then you get to the end of the season. So this is where I'm talking about the most disappointing ends to season. Now you're really getting the sense of where I'm trying to go with this podcast, specifically the last game of a season. Most disappointing end, the Virginia Tech game. And I don't have right in front of me, I didn't write notes down to myself, the exact final score of the Virginia Tech game. Let's just say it was 9,432 to nothing, because that's what it felt like. Virginia did not compete in that game from really the opening kickoff. Virginia Tech, it felt like a spring practice watching their sidelines. They were shuttling players in and out, trying to keep the score down. You know, they've, of course, Virginia Tech's got a first-year head coach, Justin Fuente. They won 10 games this year. You know, after a struggle, Frank Beamer, the legendary coach, had a four-year run at the end that was right around 500, you know. So it's not like Virginia Tech had a lot in the cupboard anymore on paper necessarily than Virginia had coming in for Bronco Mendenhall. I mean, it's not like Fuente got handed the keys to a Porsche from Frank Beamer, and Beamer just moved on in the night. I mean, he got pushed out. You know, he didn't get fired, but he was pushed out. And so Virginia Tech, caps a 10-win season, or I guess that was the cap, because I guess they won their bowl game. So, but they were on their way to the ACC championship game, you know, after this game, and didn't even seem to break a sweat and just beating the tarnation out of Virginia. In a game that obviously, you know, the way it seemed to be coached too, it didn't seem like, I mean, that shuttling quarterback system, you know, the way the season ended too with this decision, Kurt Benkert is the starter. He's named the starter coming out of summer camp, you know, bypassing Matt Johns, who on paper gives you a little bit. Matt Johns had started, you know, for a couple seasons for Virginia, gives you on paper at least a better chance to be competitive early in the season. The decision was made to go with Kurt Benkert because, at least in part, he's a guy you can build around. He'll be back this year. He's coming back for his senior season, the transfer from ECU. And, you know, the idea was let's grow with him and get better and such. And then he had a decent start. I think through five games, he was putting up some really impressive numbers and then, you know, seemed to struggle for three or four games. And the decision was made to jettison him and put Matt Johns back in to start the last couple of games. And the reasoning for that given was asinine, to say, hey, he'll learn by standing on the sidelines. No, you don't learn standing on the sidelines holding a clipboard sending signals in. Everybody knows that. You learn by going through reps. And then you certainly don't learn at Virginia Tech going in every other play or every other series or whatever scheme they were coming up with that seemed like on the fly. You know, there was momentum being gained and then lost because it's not like shuttling players in and out of a basketball game. And even when you do that, you lose something. If your point guard's going well, you know, obviously you have to rest a guy in basketball a little bit differently than you do in football because, you know, the offense and defense come in and out of the game. But, you know, you can see if you watch, you know, a lot of college basketball, a lot of NBA basketball, teams run differently when there's different guys on the floor. Well, in football, same thing. You know, you got a quarterback going. If there's a certain rhythm going, then you bring another guy in his place. You know, that there's each guy has a different skill set. And so, you know, no chance of continuity in that game. Virginia never was in that game. The game plan was stupid. It didn't seem like Bronco Mendenhall and staff took the game seriously at all. They admitted as much afterwards that, you know, they didn't expect the response from those of us diehard fans who said, you guys need to take this game more seriously. I'm sure they took the BYU-Utah game seriously out there on the west side of the country when they played those games. This is our BYU-Utah. If you got any problem figuring that out, you figured it out now. Going into the game this year, I don't think we're going to have any trouble realizing that Virginia-Virginia Tech is our rivalry game. And they learned that the hard way this year by taking it as less seriously as they did. So that was disappointing. Not the loss itself, that the team wasn't competitive, because Virginia had been obviously very competitive with Virginia Tech in the last few years. The game 2014 down in Blacksburg, Virginia blew a lead in the last couple of minutes, still had a chance to win, getting the ball back late, couldn't pull that off. Frank Beamer's last game in Virginia, the state of Virginia, Virginia led twice in the fourth quarter by a touchdown. Virginia Tech rallied each time to tie it, eventually took a lead late with a field goal in Virginia. Couldn't do anything with their last drive, lost that game. But the competitive games, not competitive last year. So losing the game, yeah, we expect to lose that game. That game's been lost for a long, long time now. But you expect it to build upon a level of competition it was not built upon. In fact, you know, start over from that standpoint. So that was disappointing. But maybe in a different way, we'll transition now to basketball. The basketball team this year, the UVA basketball team, started with high expectations. Obviously, coming off of three seasons where there were two number one national seeds, a number two national seed, two ACC regular season championships, one ACC tournament championship, a Sweet 16, and Elite Eight. Should have been a Final Four after the 2016 season. Didn't quite get there. And going into this season, you know, yeah, you lose Malcolm Brogdon, you lose Anthony Gill, you lose Mike Toby. But you still got some guys coming back. You got Austin Nichols, the transfer from Memphis, who was a former top 30 national overall recruit, expected to, you know, to really take the role of Gill and step up. Second game, he was suspended before the season opener for a game, violation of team rules, plays one game, suspended again, in fact, kicked off the team after playing one game, Nichols was. And all of a sudden you think, okay, how are we going to score points now? Because London Parente's point guard is the key guy back from the team that had done all those great things in those 3 years, averaging 29.7 wins a season. But the offense was going to rely on Parente's. It was going to rely on a couple of freshmen, Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome. It was going to rely on Mariel Shayok stepping up a bit, Darius Thompson stepping up a bit, and you needed somebody in the post to score points. That was going to be Nichols. When Nichols was gone, where were you going to get points in the post? Could teams then cheat out and take away your perimeter game? I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I was driving over, Scott German and I were driving over for the third game of the season, and I can't remember who that game was. It was the Cavs started with a pretty light schedule the first three or four games of the season. But we're driving over to Charlottesville really trying to figure this news out. We literally found this news out as we're getting in the car to head to Charlottesville for that game, that Nichols was suspended from the team and was off the team for the second violation of team rules. I mean, honestly, our discussion was, do we go 500 in the ACC this year? I mean, that's how serious it looked. And so for Virginia then to be competitive the way they were, you know, think back to the losses early in the season. You lose to West Virginia, game that was tied with a minute to go. West Virginia wins by 9, but that game was a tight game. West Virginia ends up obviously playing very well this season. I think they got to the Sweet 16. Had Gonzaga down late in that game. Beat Kansas, should have beat Kansas twice. I mean, you know, this is not a bad West Virginia team. You lose to Florida State in your ACC opener at home. Kyle Guy hits a three-pointer 7 seconds to go. Dwayne Bacon, who went crazy in the second half, hits a three with 2 seconds to go to beat you by two. This Florida State team ends up going on a long winning streak. You know, very competitive in the ACC season this year. Gets a number three seed in the national tournament. gets knocked out early, but still a very good Florida State team. So you can't say, oh, yeah, well, what are we doing losing to Florida State? You know, that weird loss at Virginia Tech, double overtime. The ball hangs on the rim. Leonard Parentes has a shot that doesn't go down that should have gone down. You know, weird stuff happens there. I mean, the Villanova loss, the tip in at the buzzer. You know, there were so many losses that were of a nature like this that really you look back, Virginia loses 12 games this season, but only the loss at Chapel Hill to the eventual national champion North Carolina. That game was over very early, and Virginia never in that game. But then 10 days later, they beat North Carolina in Charlottesville 53-43. They hold, again, the eventual national champions to 43 points in Charlottesville. 43 points for a whole game. Okay, so you avenge that loss. And then the loss in the ACC tournament to Notre Dame was a bit dispiriting. Notre Dame took an early advantage, double-digit lead 5 minutes into the game, and really never looked back. Virginia never in that game. But, of course, you play the last, what, six, 7 games of the season with either limited or no minutes from Isaiah Wilkins, who was dealing with strep throat and the lingering effects of that. So now not only are you down Austin Nichols all season long, but then you're not playing without your other big post guy, Isaiah Wilkins, in a key stretch of the season. You know, the last few games, ACC tournament, NCAA tournament. But you win a game in the ACC tournament. You win a game in the NCAA tournament. You rally and beat UNC Wilmington after being down big in the first half of that game. Rally and win that game. And then you play Florida. So we're getting to the last of the season again. So you have the disappointing stretch at the end that's caused, at least in great part, I think. I mean, honestly, I don't think it's an excuse. It's a reason that Isaiah Wilkins is not part of the mix. You know, you're already a depleted lineup. You're already trying to piece things together. And Tony Bennett did a great job this year squeezing 23 wins out of this team. It was not the team he was ready to play with when the season started. But you get to Florida. A Florida team that is built very much like Virginia. They play a little faster pace, but they're a team built around defense. They're built around having numbers of guys who play. Not a real star player in the mix, just good players, right? And so you have all that going. You go into the Florida game, second round. Hey, things look good. You know, you potentially have a matchup. Actually, at the time, we already knew Villanova had lost. The number one seed had lost. You, going in, you're thinking, hey, maybe we play Villanova, the team that we almost, you know, beat at Villanova back in January. Maybe that's a matchup. Then you see that they've lost. So, hey, the door's open. We win this game with Florida. We can sneak our way back to the Elite Eight. Virginia was never in the Florida game. It was a replay almost entirely, it felt like, of the Carolina loss in Chapel Hill. Virginia scores 39 points in a loss. I think Jack Salt and Mamadi Diakite, leading scorers for the team, 9 points and 8 points in this game. I mean, just an atrocious performance. Such a letdown. Not the same as the football team, because the football loss was, you know, terrible game planning, lack of heart, lack of effort, it felt like, from coaches and players. There was no lack of heart or lack of effort. It was just a lack of anything left after, I think, you know, when I mentioned that Tony Bennett squeezed as many wins out of that team as he could possibly squeeze, I think it just took so much out of them to get to that stage that, you know, when Florida it's kind of like in a boxing match or, you know, UFC, you take the early blow. Sometimes you can withstand it and come back. There was just nothing left. You know, that team was exhausted. So, dispiriting loss, but, you know, it's hard to say it was, you know, I don't think anybody thought that team was going to win a national championship. The season going in, you know, even, there were times that you know thought this team could somehow do it. I mean, that before the stretch where you lose to Carolina, you lose to Duke at home, and then you lose to Miami in a game where I think we scored in the 40s in overtime, an overtime loss at home. Before that 3-game stretch, yeah, man, maybe there's a chance here. This team was playing so good. But then, you know, reality hit, you know, the lack of punch hit. You know, you can dust yourself off, come back next year. We talked on a podcast last week. I think that this team is really, it's not going to get the acclaim from the writers that it got the last couple of years going into the preseason. They're not going to be a preseason top 10 team. They may not be a preseason top 25. I think they'll probably sneak in between 20 and 25 in the AP and coaches polls in the end before the season starts. But this is that's don't worry about that, because the team in 2013, 2014 that turned our fortunes around started that year, I think 23rd, and played its way into being a number one seed. And I think this team's going to be that kind of team. The talent on the team's too much. And plus, you know, you got a year to get better. The key players are a year older, et cetera. And plus, they're going to develop. The key guys on this team are going to be back again in 2018, 2019. The future's going to be fine for UVA men's basketball. So the loss, what it was, at least they got to where they got. 23 wins, 12 losses with that team is, to me, that's a great coaching job. I know that fans are – some fans, a lot of fans are thinking, oh, what a down year that was. 23-12, losing in the second round of the NCAA tournament. 5 years ago, we'd have been happy with that. So I like that we're not, because it means that we have higher expectations. But, you know, put it all in perspective. So now we'll finish up with baseball. Baseball team goes 42-14 in a regular season. They go 18-12 in a regular season in the ACC. Win their last six series. They didn't get swept in any series, also didn't sweep anybody. Kind of a weird season. You know, they won those six straight series after a 4-5 start. You know, you go to Chapel Hill, you lose 2 out of 3. You go to Louisville and lose 2. Or was it Louisville or Clemson? You lose 2 out of 3. You know, you have, because you play, gosh, well, Clemson, Louisville, UNC all took 2 out of 3 from Virginia, but then Virginia wins the last six series. And you look at all that and you say, you know, gosh, well, it's hard to get too upset about losing 2 out of 3 to UNC, who eventually is the number 2 overall national seed. Louisville spent most of the season in the top 2 or 3 of the country, ends up as a number 7 national seed. They're in the Super Regional, so, you know, that's all well and good. Clemson, for the most part this season, they ended up hosting a regional. But they were a top 10 team all season long. And then you beat Florida State. They're in the Super Regionals. You beat them 2 out of 3 in Tallahassee. You know, you do what you need to do against teams like Georgia Tech and Duke and Miami. Miami didn't make a tournament for the first time in 44 years this year. You go 23-1 against the non-conference schedule. Yeah, you fell a little short in the ACC tournament, the new system. You go 1-1. You lose to Duke late. And you know, you don't get to play in the semifinals or finals of that. Maybe a little bit of shafting going on when you don't get to host a regional. But I think, you know, I kind of think, like the basketball team going 23-12 with what they had, this team going 42-14 is a great coaching job for Brian O'Connor. He didn't have a number one starter at all this year. Didn't have a number two starter really defined at all this year. He had Adam Haseley on Sundays. But then he even lost Haseley somewhere around May 1st to a bone bruise. And Haseley, of course, also was starting center fielder and middle of the order power guy, him and Paven Smith. And, you know, so if you don't have a number one starter, Derek Casey was a number one starter for a few games, had some great starts, had some terrible starts. Daniel Lynch, you know, just like Daniel Lynch has been an enigma the last couple of years for Virginia. He had some solid starts and some awful starts. You throw a lot of guys in a role. You know, Evan Sperling, you throw Noah Murdoch out there. Murdoch had a solid run as a number two starter for a few weeks in the middle of the ACC season, but then, you know, there's talk that he may need Tommy John surgery after suffering an injury late in the season. Serious damper there. So, you know, you get to the postseason, you've really got question marks all around. Casey ends up throwing a good game in the first game of the Fort Worth Regional. Good game. He went into the eighth inning, gave up 3 runs, put Virginia in position to win. They won the game against Dallas Baptist 6-3. But you kind of knew after that. I mean, one, you kind of rolled the dice putting Casey out there in the first place, because he had to. I mean, but he can either give you a great game, or by inning 3, he's already out and your bullpen's screwed for the weekend. We've seen that happen in recent weeks. Game 2 for Virginia, the winner's bracket 1-0, the 1-0 game against TCU, the number one seed in the region, kind of happened, unfortunately, the way that you thought it would happen. Lynch gets knocked out in the third. You have to go to Alec Bettinger early. Bettinger does his job. He gives you long relief. But just in one of those odd occurrences, this team was built on offense this year. They got just enough pitching, had a lot of offense. That's why they're 42-14 in regular season. Just one of those games where the offense didn't click. And they're down early, and you're using innings from Bettinger. When you do that, that's another roll of the dice. If you use him for an extended relief outing, he already had pitched an inning in Casey's win. And he pitched the eighth inning of that game to set up Tommy Doyle. If you get long innings out of Bettinger and you don't get runs and get back in the game, take the lead, he's done for the weekend, and you still got at least one more game to play. If you lose that game, probably you got three more games to play if you want to win the regional, and you don't have Bettinger all weekend. So they lose that game, final score 5-1, and you just know going into the third game against Dallas Baptist, boy, you know you got to throw Sperling out there. Hopefully Sperling, I've seen Sperling pitch in person. He's got the stuff. Just he didn't get an out against Dallas Baptist. Literally didn't get an out. Hit two batters, walked two batters, gets lifted. Cavs get down 9-1 after two. They fight their way back. Five runs in the ninth. They bring the tying run to the plate after being down 11-3 going into the ninth. But just not enough. You dig yourself too much of a hole. And so, disappointing loss. I don't, you know, on the scale of a three, football, basketball, and baseball, I actually think, I don't know, that's the most disappointing, because I like the life that the baseball team showed. They scored five. They brought the tying run to the plate after being down eight going into the ninth inning. They really spit and taped that whole season together to get to that stage. No, I don't think that's a disappointment at all. Now, you're going to look at the draft next week, the Major League draft next week, and see, you might see Pavin Smith's name called first. Might. You just might. You're certainly going to see him and Adam Haseley go in the top 10. You're going to say, wow, two top 10 picks and we didn't get out of the regionals? You got to have pitching. We know that from 2015. You can have a mediocre season with good pitching. You can win a national championship in baseball. But you can't paper over bad, you know, just or not bad pitching, just not having enough pitching, and win a championship in baseball. I really think, I know that you have to win six, maybe seven games to win the NCAA basketball tournament. To get into the football playoff, you've got to be 12 or 13-0 probably to get there, and then you got to win two games against tough teams. I still think baseball is the toughest championship to win, because you've got to win at least 10 games over a 4-week period. You can't just throw the same guys out there. In basketball and football, you know, you put the same team out there, right? I mean, you know, there's only 40 minutes in a basketball game, only 200 minutes to give out to five positions on the floor. You can play six, seven guys. In football, you know, honestly, it's down to the Alabamas and Clemsons and Florida States and Ohio States of the world that can compete at that level. And again, you can get away with what they have at their disposal. In baseball, you've got to have at least two dominant starters. You've got to have a third and fourth guy. You've got to have a guy in the middle innings who can eat up some innings for you, Artie Lewicki or Josh Sabores from a couple recent teams from Virginia. You got to have a closer, and you've got to have a lineup that can score enough runs. I mean, there's so many elements to a baseball team in winning that baseball championship. Again, at least 10 wins. You got to win at least three games the first weekend, maybe four. You got to win Super Regionals. You got to win two out of three games. Then the first weekend of the College World Series, you've got to, again, either win three or four games. Then you got to win two games in a championship series. That's a test right there. That's the test of all tests to win that championship. Baseball just didn't have it this year, and they put themselves in position. That's the least of the three disappointments to me. The second least is probably the basketball. Again, I think there was effort there. A great coaching job. Like Brian O'Connor did a great coaching job to get the baseball where it got. I think Tony Bennett did a great coaching job to get Virginia basketball into the second round of the NCAA tournament. They just couldn't, you know, get past a tough Florida team. So it's going to be weird to say, because we haven't expected anything out of football for a long time in Virginia, but I still think that the way that season ended was the most disappointing to me. The seven straight losses to end the season, and the lack of effort, planning, detail, attention, etc. to that Virginia Tech game was so demoralizing that, you know, it's hard for us to even want to pay attention to football coming up this year, because you know that 2017 is going to be another slog, even with a terrible schedule. I mean, a very friendly schedule that still Virginia will be lucky to win three or four games. It's going to be some work. I mean, obviously, you know, Bronco Mendenhall is not going to fix this right away, but I don't know. I expected more out of him and his staff than we saw. I thought that they would have coached their way into a couple extra wins there than they got. So I'm bearish on the football, and I'm really disappointed with the way that season ended. So that's the wrap for UVA sports this year. Again, the women's basketball team, we'll quickly go over. The women's basketball team got the short end of the stick, not getting an NCAA tournament bid. They should have gotten a bid. All the indications were they should have gotten a bid, didn't get a bid. That is what it is. Men's tennis wins a championship. Great. Men's lacrosse doesn't get in the tournament. That's a little bit of a surprise to me with a new coach. I guess soccer didn't win a championship. They tend to win those championships. You know, they were competitive. Overall, the Director's Cup, I think Virginia's going to be somewhere in the top 20 when it's all over with. Great, whatever. A couple years ago, they won it. So down every year, but chance to regroup, I guess, and look forward to next year. That'll wrap us up for the 2016-2017 UVA sports season. I am Chris Graham signing off here on Street Knowledge, and we'll talk some more sports and wrestling and more fun things coming up here in the next few days. Signing off, I say, as always, if you can't be good, be good at it.